Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors and time for the FM Talk 106.5 Offshore Fishing Report brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics, home of Garmin, featuring the Garmin 8600 one-touch setting up to 24 inches and the Garmin 7600 dual chirp sonar with clear view and side view scanning. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics, your local online retailer with all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more. And let's check in with our buddy Blake Michaleski of the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club and talk some offshore fishing. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
We're doing good, man. I can't wait to get into some conversations about what's coming up with fall fishing. But first, let's talk about some of the news for the offshore fishing world and what's happened since last time we talked. New Orleans had their Billfish Invitational.
That's right, they did, Sean, and some a familiar name keeps popping up with the done deal. Angler Katie Goslin, she went for Blue Marlin, so they took first place on the release. And the Sherry weighed in a 648.3 Blue Marlin. So it was good fishing. And then those are some names we hear a lot. Relentless Pursuit also released two blues and one white. They took third place.
Okay, you've talked about this some before, but what makes a certain crew, a certain boat, be subject of discussion, you know, week after week? And, I mean, part of it, obviously, is the luck of fishing. But there's there's another component at work here too.
Well, there's luck and there's money, but it's skill and it's people say you better be lucky than good, but it pays off to be both. So
right.
If you can be good and be prepared and you've messed up enough times to learn from your mistakes, that's probably a big one. Say, okay, well, we'll not do that again, or just and be observant of the little things. And so these crews, after they fish enough, they don't have to talk a whole lot. When there's a fish on, everyone just has their job and they know what to do. It's a sports team. And so it's a team effort, and that's what makes them work.
Yeah, so there's the difference from the time the fish is hooked to that fish making it to the, the deckhand putting their hand on the leader. That's where the skill comes in.
Right. There's a lot of, I say anyone can go out and get a bite, but can you land it? Can you get an official release? Or even if it's a fish you're going to weigh, is it one you can take? And so, but not just the angler, but the boat handler, the captain, and how he handles the boat and the communication in the cockpit, it's all key. In fact, you see some guys going out to where the captains are fishing in the tower and they're using wireless headsets to communicate with their crew, so they all know exactly what's going on. And that also includes anticipating a bite. When a captain sees a blue marlin coming in hot on a lure, he can tell them to be ready.
Okay, I mean, that's a little bit, to stick with this analogy, the sports team analogy, that's why head coaches are so important for teams, and I guess that's the same thing for the skipper there, for the captain.
Right, he is kind of the head coach, and you have your team owner, but a lot of times they're letting their crew that they trust run the show.
All right, let's talk about this. Blues have been the story, and like you said, big blues this summer for sure. What about the white marlin? I mean, as we start looking, I know we're not exactly to fall yet, but let's look forward, and it always seems to me that guys like you are always talking white marlin in the fall.
Yeah, it's already started, and they had the white marlin shootout here a couple weeks back as well, and plenty of whites released. It's just starting. I'd say peak fishing is through October or so, but it was good to hear of some fish being caught. And even with the New Orleans tournament, they were fishing out of Venice, so there's whites over there. It's not just to the southeast at the spur, the nipple area.
But the nice thing is there, that's an area that anglers here locally can get to that's pretty good for white marlin, right? They can come out of Perdido Pass and make
Absolutely.
A quick day trip of getting down there and getting after them.
Yeah, even on your, you got twin engines, that's my, I wouldn't want to go out there on a single engine on just any day, but you get out there because you can go, 30 miles or so and you're out there. Get out there around 600 feet or so and start working that contour is a good place to start. If you can find a grass line or any kind of debris, even a floating pallet, make sure you troll by it because there could be a white on it. And there's also sailfish around, and I've even heard of some old-time skippers tell me that the largest blue marlin they've ever seen in the Gulf were over there during that time of year, and they suspect they could be eating whites. sick.
Whoa.
That happens in Hawaii now. You know, the big blue marlins in Hawaii will eat the little spearfish. And some of those are similar size.
Wow. When you start talking about wait a second. A blue eating a white. I mean, spearfish, one thing, you know, obviously they eat tuna, but eating a white marlin? Holy cow.
It happens. And they'll eat sailfish. You know, big fish eat little fish. That's the ocean. So there's no rules, I guess. If they're hungry enough and something looks tasty enough, they can fit it in their mouth. They're going to try.
Okay. We've talked in the past about techniques folks are using to get more bites. Of course, live baiting techniques for these big blues. What about white marlin? Are you doing any kind of live baiting, or are we pulling plastics, or what do people do?
Yeah, it's typically two dredge setups, which are like some of your listeners may be familiar with Alabama rig. It's a multiple rigs on a on an arm system. But in
you
our
mean
case,
like we throw for bass, like an like an Alabama rig we throw for bass?
Right. It's take that and fill it up. You know, to where it's about 36 inches across and about 5 feet long. And so we're pulling two of these just as teasers. We do a blue marlin fishing too, but for when you're working with smaller billfish that tend to hunt in packs, they really focus on, you know, bait balls versus a single bait or, you know, a single tuna or something. They're going to get in on this. And we try to create the illusion that there's stuff back there already kind of chasing it. We've got, you know, lures on our flats and our short riggers that are, you know, going to look like a predator fish kind of chasing after that stuff and be a bait in its own right. And then always run something out long. Usually little lures while we're covering water looking for fish will pull lures at a faster rate. But then once you locate some fish, you can slow it down and put out the ballyhoos. And in many cases, people are, you know, circle hook fishing now because we're release fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And they've learned these tactics in, say, Costa Rica and Guatemala, the light tackle circle hook fishery for these fish.
Okay. We've talked some white marlin. We've also talked about sailfish there. I mean, is sailfish going to fall for the same techniques?
Yeah, more or less. They, you know, they're just going to run a little smaller, but they eat similar, you know, you can go out there and just pull a spread all day and catch, you know, a blue, a white, and a sail. They'll all eat everything.
So you could get a bite on either as you're pulling.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's just that I think you're going to find more whites out there this in fall. Now, if you want to look for sailfish in the fall, you can work in close. They'll actually, those fish go real shallow. I mean, less than 100 feet of water. And so there's been sailfish caught at Three Mile Bridge in Pensacola, right inside Destin Pass. I mean, some of them are small. They're 20-pound fish, but they're, you know, they're there. And say even further inshore and to the east, like Panama City, they'll get nice numbers of sailfish in close.
All right, let's talk about somebody else who could be swimming around out there, and that is a wahoo.
Yeah, it's about that time. And which, coincidentally, a lot of what a favorite whitey spread of ours in the fall involve, we're going to put two wahoo, you know, two, say, Yuzuri bonitas on our flats. And that gives you, say, it leaves you an alleyway open to, say, pitch bait a marlin, but then your wahoo fish at the same time. So that's a nice little fall technique that's worked for us. But if you want to target them, you know, you can look in these ledges and these, you know, and they'll come in closer, you know, in up on the shelf. And so in the fall to the east, even through the winter, as long as water's not too cold, the wahoo are in there. If you can locate them, live bait is still probably one of the better ways to catch them. But the you know, traditional high-speed trolling that so many people are familiar with, it definitely works for just covering water and looking for fish.
Yeah, and that sounds like that's a big part of the game, too, is crossing areas off your list, you know, finding that zone, that rip or whatever, that break that the fish are on.
Right, and a lot of it is locating it. You need to find, you know, current breaks, and you have a lot of these inshore near Louisiana. But anywhere you can find, you know, a nice rock ledge is going to be, you know, a potential target. Anywhere you can have some upwelling because the fish will key in, and you'll find it over and over that they'll key in this area. But that's what experience will get you. But if you're just out there looking around, you know, high-speed trolling is still a great way.
All right, Blake, let's talk about what's coming up for the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club.
We got our big one, the Labor Day tournament, coming up next weekend, and it's going to be a big one. Hopefully, we'll have some good weather. The tropics look nice and quiet, and you know, and I feel confident saying that a week out, because
right.
I don't think anything that could get on us that quickly. So,
So good news there.
We've avoided, you know, saying good weather up until about now. So now it's looking good, and let's hope it holds out. So, you know, and remember, it's two tournaments in one. It's got the outboard shootout, which is just a one day. You come back and weigh your fish Saturday, or you fish the whole tournament. We're going to leave out Friday on a flare start, 1:30, and it's going to be a sight to see. So you can even see if you're down at Perdido Pass or just down at the beach, you can see the boat, all the sport fishers come out, Perdido Pass, line up, and we're going to do a flare start. It'll be a really nice sight.
Good deal. Remind folks, too, if they want to get signed up to take part in tournaments or just see what it's all about, how do they get membership for the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club?
Sean, they can check us out online. We're at mbgfc.org or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thembgfc.
All right. Blake, as always, I appreciate the update, man, and we'll have to go chase some of those whiteys soon.
That's right. Okay, Sean. Thanks.
All right. Blake Michaleski from the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, check it in. Offshore Report brought to you by Macklin and the crew at HMS Marine Electronics, home of Garmin, featuring the Garmin 8600 one-touch setting up to 24 inches and the Garmin 7600 dual-chirp sonar with clear view and side view scanning.